Would you pray with me?
Jesus, that is our great desire, that we would know the blessing of doing your will. And we thank you, Jesus, that you have served us so that that can be a reality in our lives. And this morning I pray that you would, by the power of the Holy Spirit, serve us again so that we understand our place in this body, and so that we, each one of us, might find our place serving and strengthening each other. Jesus, we ask this in your name. Amen. Well, good morning, and welcome again to Faith. It's just good to be with you again as we gather together to open up God's Word and to see what Jesus has to say to us as his people. If you're new to Faith, let me just give you a quick snapshot of the series that we're in. Currently, we're in a series of messages called New Beginnings. And in this series, what we're doing is we're looking at the newness that's found in Jesus and then the things that we do because Jesus has made us new. And I think this is a pretty important series for us because at a fundamental level, we all desire newness, right? We want there to be newness in our lives. We want there to be newness in our world. That's why when we hear about an organization like Convoy of Hope that's bringing newness to our world, we just think, ah, oh, there's something just in us that responds because we want that. We want there to be newness in our families, newness in our attitudes and in our actions. And one of the truths that we discover in the pages of this book is that when we trust Jesus, he makes us new, right? He gives us a new mission for our life. He places us in a new family called the church. He gives us a new gift to serve and to strengthen others. He creates in us a new heart that just generously wants to give like God's given to us. He gives to us a new access to God in prayer, and he provides a new message called the Bible to guide us through life. So in this series, we're looking together at the newness that's found in Jesus and then subsequently the things that we do because Jesus has made us new. Now, if you were with us last week, you'll remember that Pastor Brad reminded us of the truth that when we trust Jesus, he places us in a new family called the church. So the church is not a building necessarily. The church is a community of people who first are loved by Jesus, but then who love and serve one another as a family. Which means at Faith, we want you to find friendship. We want you to find encouragement. We want you to find support, which is why almost every Sunday we challenge you to do what? We challenge you to be in a small group. A small group where you're known and loved, where your needs can be met, because we're not individuals who just occasionally bump into one another on Sundays. We are a family. And the fact that Jesus is making us a family, or maybe better said, the fact that Jesus has made us a family, explains why for so many of you, you're loved and accepted and known here at Faith in ways that you're not anywhere else. So the big idea from last week is that when we trust Jesus, he places us in a new family called the church. And this week, I just want to expand a little bit on that idea and help you to understand something that many of you probably know, but it's good to be reminded of. It's the truth that Jesus not only just places us in a family, he also gives us a gift to serve and to strengthen that family. Now, at first, this doesn't seem like that important of an idea for us to grab a hold of, but it is. And let me explain why. The continued health or the ongoing health of this local church actually hinges on you. hinges on you using the gifts that God's given to you to serve and to strengthen this body of believers, meaning we won't be all that we can be without you. Now, here's what I know about you. If you come regularly to faith, I know that you want this church, by God's grace, to be a great church. Right? You want faith to make a difference in your life and in this community. Right? You want to be able to invite your friends here and to know that while they might not agree with everything that they see, they'll want to come back because there's something different in a good way about us. So I know that you want faith by God's grace to be all that we can be for Jesus in this community and in this world. But here's what you might not know, or here's what you might have forgotten. You personally, not like you personally, I'm speaking to you personally this morning. You have an indispensable part to play in this happening. If you've trusted Jesus, God has given you gifts to serve and to strengthen this local church, which means the ongoing health of faith hinges on all of us working together for God's glory and for our good. Now, I want to show you this from the Bible, because I think the Bible is more compelling than I am. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you don't have a Bible, there's one right underneath your seat. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is writing to a church. And if you've read through Corinthians, you'll know this church is struggling. It's not healthy right now. Right now in the church, some people are serving the church well. Other people are using the church. And because of this, some people are beginning to criticize and complain, which is causing dissension and frustration and division. And Paul knows that if things don't change for this church, it won't be all that Jesus has called it to be, which would be tragic, not just for the church, not just for the people gathered in this church in Corinth. It would also be tragic for the city of Corinth, because the message of Jesus Christ won't go forward. And so Paul, he writes to these people to help them to understand the role that they play in the ongoing health of this church. And Paul tells these Christians three things that we're going to look at together this morning. The first thing that Paul tells the Christians in Corinth is he tells them that the church is the body of Christ. It's Paul's first big idea. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting verse 12, Paul says this: "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." Let's stop there and just unpack Paul's first big idea to the church in Corinth. Paul's first big idea is that the church is the body of Christ. Now, that is a super helpful analogy, because everyone has a body, right? If you don't, see me after so that I can help. Okay? We all have bodies, and as such, we intuitively understand the diversity of the human body and the need for all the different parts of our body to work together for the overall health of our body, right? No one had to sit down and say, you know, your feet, they're really important for walking, or your hands are just, they're so important, or your head is, you know, protect that, right? Furthermore, you know that all the different parts of your human body are interconnected, meaning if one part of your body isn't working well, what happens? it affects the overall health of your entire body, right? So if you pull just a really small muscle in your back, bringing in the groceries, it affects everything. All of a sudden, your knee hurts, and then your hip hurts, and then you can't sleep at night, right? And then pretty soon, your whole life, physically and emotionally, because even your emotions are tied to your physical body, it all becomes out of order just because this small little muscle in your back was tweaked while you were bringing in the groceries. Now, in using the body as an analogy for the church, Paul is helping us to see that we are all interconnected. And as such, if just one part of our body, or better said, if one person in our church is out of alignment, what happens? It affects the overall health of our entire church. Now, I want to talk with you very briefly about what makes you part of the body or part of the church, because I think that'll help you to understand if it matters that you personally are in alignment with faith, serving and giving and making a difference here. Okay, Paul says this in verse 13. Take a look at it with me. He says that we become part of the body of Christ, or we become part of the church when we're baptized in one spirit. Okay, let me explain to you what Paul is talking about here. The baptism of the Spirit is the moment when you become a Christian, meaning it is the moment when the Holy Spirit enters your life and causes you to believe the message of Jesus, which is the message that God became a man, that he lived without sin, that he went to the cross and generously gave his life for our life. He died in our place and for our sins. Then he rose for our life and our salvation. And as such, when we trust Jesus, he gives generously to us. He forgives our sins. He makes us new. He connects us again with God. When that message awakens in your soul, it's a spiritual baptism of sort. It's this clear indication that the Holy Spirit has invaded your life and brought to you a new life, which is what we're looking at in this series. This new life, so that now God is your Father and Jesus is your Savior and the Holy Spirit is your helper and the church is your family. And now, because you're a Christian, God has a role for you in the body. He wants to use you to serve and to strengthen others. So here's what this means for you. If you're not a Christian, meaning you don't yet believe in Jesus as your Savior and your God, you are totally, totally welcome here at Faith. We want you here. We want you to come. We want you to observe. We want you to get involved with a small group and ask all of your questions. And our hope for you, I think it's good to be clear about this, our hope for you is that one day the Holy Spirit works in your life, causing you to believe. But until that happens, when you hear us talking about serving and giving and finding your place, don't let that be a stumbling block for you. We're not asking anything from you. Just come and let us serve you. Let us love you. Let us be a blessing to you. But on the other hand, if you are a Christian, Paul says that you're now part of the body of Christ, which means God wants to use this church to serve and to strengthen you, but God also wants to use you with your gifts, with your passion, with your resources. He wants to use you to serve and to strengthen this church. Now, moving on with Paul's first big idea that the church is the body of Christ, he says this in verse 14. He says, for the body does not consist of one part, but many. Okay, and what Paul is saying here is that in the church, there should be great diversity, or there is great diversity. Right? And we looked at this last week, so I'll be really brief here. What this means is that at Faith, you will find all kinds of people. You'll find people from different ages, races, economic statuses, backgrounds, interests, personalities, and the like. You'll find newly married, wish I was married, can't remember when I wasn't married. You'll find quiet people. You'll find loud people. You'll find funny people. You'll find smart people. You'll find not so smart people, right? We are a diverse group of people, so diverse that the outside world might look at us and say, what brings all of you together? Why do you like each other? Why do you get along? To which we say, Jesus, right? Jesus has loved us and he's made us a family. Now let me highlight for you three temptations that we face because of our diversity. Temptations that if we're not intentionally aware of and battling will lead to disunity here at Faith. And the first temptation is to not work together for the good of the whole church. Paul points this out in verse 15 where he says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. Okay, so think about this with me. If this happened, if your head and your mouth decided they were no longer going to function together, what would happen? Your whole life would be very, very difficult. That's Paul's big idea. As a church, life will be very difficult for us if we don't work together for the health of the entire body, which means that we can't say, you know, I only care about the service that I attend, or I'm really only passionate about my small group, or you know what, I don't care what the rest of the church does, I just want this area of ministry to thrive, or I'm just really passionate about this. If this happens at Faith, great. If everything else, it doesn't matter. We're a body, right? And so we have to work together for the good of the whole church. Okay, so the first temptation is to not work together because of our differences. The second temptation is to wish everyone was like us. You ever feel like that? In verse 17, Paul says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? The implication is that we need people like you, and we need people who are not like you. I mean, think about this with me. If Faith was just filled with ears, who would tell us that we stink and we need to take a shower? Okay, that's Paul's point. So he's saying, hey, don't walk through life wishing everyone was like you, because when you do, you find yourself wanting the church to reflect you instead of the church to reflect the fullness of Jesus, the fullness of his love to all kinds of people, the fullness of his generosity to all kinds of people. And then the final temptation that we face because of our diversity is to see our diversity as a bad thing, but it's not. As a matter of fact, God purposely plans our diversity. And that's Paul's second big idea in 1 Corinthians 12. Paul basically says God purposely plans this. And the reason for it is that because diversity ultimately leads us to maturity. In verse 18, Paul says this, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body. God brought our diversity. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, if we were all alike, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So Faith, who places diversity in the church? God does, which means, and this is incredibly important for you personally to grab a hold of, it means that God has brought you here. He's arranged this. God's brought you here with your gifts and your background and your ability. So you can't sit on the sidelines as a spectator. We need you. God's brought you to this body to serve and to strengthen others. Now, I want you to think about this with me, because God, in his wisdom, he's the one who arranges all the different parts of the body, which means you and I can't belittle our place in the body. So don't walk through life thinking, I'm not that you think this necessarily, but, you know, I'm just a toe. I wish God had given me something more to do. Friend, there's no correlation between size and significance in the body. Every ministry matters because we are dependent on one another. And it's God, right? God who's sovereign, who is all wise, who determines your gifts, your abilities, and your passions. So don't belittle your place in the body. We need you. We depend on you. There's work for you to do. And furthermore, don't despise others in our body. Paul says this very clearly in verse 21. Take a look at this with me. He says this. He says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary," Paul writes, "the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." Do you see what Paul is saying? It's really the culmination of his third big idea to the church in Corinth. He's saying the church desperately needs people like you, and the church desperately needs people who are not like you. So don't belittle your place in the body, and don't belittle or don't despise people who are not like you in the body. In Faith, one of the main tactics that Satan will use to hinder our church is to whisper to you, you know, that this church would be so much better without so-and-so. You know, we would really just be so much better if this person was just, I don't know, more quiet. Or, you know, I really love people well. This is you thinking, not me saying this to you. But you think, I really love people well. And, you know, those people, they don't. The truth is, you love people well, and other people here at Faith love different. Some people love with their words. Some people love with their actions. Some people love Faith by managing the resources that come in, right? Some people love at Faith by leading small groups. Some people love at Faith by strategic planning. Some people love by teaching. We love different, and we need to affirm that. And as one of your pastors, I'm begging you, never allow Satan to plant belittling thoughts in your mind about other people here at Faith. Never allow an "I have no need of you" attitude to take root in your heart. I mean, what a horrible thing to say about the different parts of your physical body. But Faith, let me say this. We say this about the different parts of our spiritual body when we criticize, when we question, when we allow suspicion to enter our hearts, when we don't trust someone. Not because of their character, but because they're just different. And in all of these moments, Satan is just sprinkling seeds of disunity. And so in these moments, we have to be vigilant about removing those seeds before weeds take root and then bear bitter fruit in our church. The truth is this, Faith. We desperately need people who are just like you. And we need people who are unlike you as well. For faith to continue to thrive, for us to be all that Jesus has called us to be, we need all of your gifts. We need all of your experiences. We need the men and the women. We need the young and the old. We need the rich and the poor. We need the single and the married. We need all of your backgrounds, all of your expertise, all of your experiences. We need everybody on deck week after week after week, serving and strengthening this church, because we're a body, and when we all work together, do you know what happens? Faith, do you know what happens? We are a better church, and more and more and more people come to know Jesus and love Jesus, and they're changed. That's our mission, which means we all have to work together. So Paul's three big ideas to the church in Corinth. The church is the body of Christ. God purposely plans diversity to lead us to greater maturity. And the church desperately needs people like you and unlike you. And Faith, when this happens, when we get these three things right, we thrive. Paul says it like this in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. Let me read it to you. He says, and he, and that's Jesus, gave, and the implication is gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, those are pastors, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children. We're no longer immature, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are, what are we to do? We're to grow up in every way into him. That's Jesus, who is the head, from whom the whole body joined. Look at this, joined and held together by every joint, every member which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Here's what this means for you. It means that you have to find your place here at Faith, serving and strengthening other people. And some of you already have. Quite a few of you already have. And to you, let me just say a huge thank you. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to ask you to stand up, because then everyone at this point would feel really odd that's not serving. But can we just say a huge, you know who you are if you're serving, but can we say a huge thank you to those who faithfully serve our church? Okay, and if that's you, as a gift for your faithful service, you can now tune out for the next 2 minutes while I talk to those who haven't yet found their place serving at Faith. If that's you, if you're a Christian, okay, and you haven't yet found your place serving here at Faith, let me remind you that the continued or the ongoing health of this church hinges on you using your gifts to serve and to strengthen this body of believers. And because God has revealed this so clearly to you in his word this morning, it is a sin for you to continue to claim to be a Christian and yet not actively be serving and supporting and strengthening this church as a faithful member of this body. Okay, so for those of you who aren't serving, let me give you this simple challenge. Find your place in this body. And if you don't know what your place is, we've made it super simple for you to find it. All you need to do is send an email this week, and this is in your bulletin. Just send an email this week to serve@faithefc.org. Okay, that's the email. Just send an email there, and we'll send you all the information you need to find your place serving here at Faith. And after you go through that process, if it doesn't work, call me and you can help me in the college ministry, okay? Okay, but it really is simple. And let me say this. I realize I can't make you serve. That's not my role. But according to God's word, I can promise you some things. I can promise you that if you do, you will be blessed. Your life will be full. I started serving the church when I was in college. That was when God started working in my heart about these things. And so I found my place. It was a really small place at the time, and started giving faithfully. God laid it on my heart that I was supposed to give $100 a week. I mean, a month. You're like, whoa, college student. But $100 a month. So I just started doing that serving. And I can tell you, my life has been blessed. I've never regretted the hours I've spent serving the church or the money that I've given to see the church thrive. Because more people get to know Jesus. My life is rich. So I can promise you that. You will be blessed. You'll be a blessing. You'll be a blessing. And our church will be stronger and healthier because of what Jesus does in you and through you. So please, find your place where you serve and you strengthen this church. I want to close this morning, as I often close, by reminding you of the gospel. Because the gospel is actually what empowers us to serve. The gospel is what changes our hearts from the inside so that we actually want to serve. The gospel is the good news about how Jesus has served us. And I want the gospel to be so clear for you, lest you think that you serve so that God serves you. It's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is this. God is not asking you to serve him. He's asking you to allow him to serve you. God's not asking you to give him anything. God is asking you to receive him. And when you do, God takes up his life in you so that his grace and his goodness begin to flow through you. So do you want to know? You want to know why it actually matters that you serve at Faith? It matters because of the gospel. If you're a Christian, Jesus has served you so that you might then serve others. So find your place in this body and allow Jesus to work through you for his glory and for our good. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we want to thank you this morning for the way that you have faithfully served us. You came from heaven to earth for us. You lived a sacrificial, a generous life, the life that we were called to live. And then you died in our place and for our sins. And then you rose from the grave so that as a living Savior, you could change us. You could serve us. And Jesus, you've done that so faithfully. You've served us by sending the Holy Spirit into this world. You've served us by saving us. You've served us by giving us a new life. You've served us by placing us in a new family. You've served us by giving us a gift to serve and to strengthen this family. And so, Jesus, we praise you this morning, and we thank you for those who are faithfully serving here. Thank you for the sacrifice that they make. Thank you for the work that you're doing in them and through them. I pray that you would support them, encourage them. By the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, strengthen them for another week, another season of using their gift to serve and to strengthen others. And then, Jesus, for those who will serve because of this message, I pray that you would give them great joy and that you would use them in new ways so that this body of believers can serve more people. And for those, for some reason or another, who don't want to serve and they do know you, Jesus, I pray by the Holy Spirit that you would convict them and that you would bring them to a place where they freely want to give away the life that you've given to them. Finally, Jesus, we pray that you'd protect this body of believers. We are so diverse, and we want that diversity to be harnessed for great good. So protect us from disunity, and we will give you the praise and the glory as we faithfully work together in this community because of you, Jesus. Everybody said, amen.